Thank you, Vel. That was wonderful. I really like the way that was done this morning. Having the voice of children as well as just spending that time in prayer. Well, good morning. It is good to be back. We were here Tuesday, but it's good to be back home after a short trip. I bring greetings from my family and from friends that we got a chance to see. It's always good to be home after a short trip, and it's always nice to be home. So today is the last Sunday in 2018. Wow, did this year go by fast? We are going to be celebrating something tomorrow night and of course Tuesday, and it's called a new year. Now, what are you saying when you say have a happy new year? What are you really saying? You know, that seemed to be something we just kind of throw out there sometimes, but what we're really, I think, saying when we say have a happy new year is that we're offering a blessing that 2019 will somehow be better than 2018, right? That we won't maybe have the problems and the struggles that we had in 2018, and that 2019 will come, and that we will have great blessings for our future. Every year, you know, we tend to stay up later than usual to see the old year go out and the new year come in. And I was reminded, my wife and I, and we were talking about this as we were driving back. And when I was growing up in Pendleton, I've mentioned before that our home was like four houses down from the church. And so every year, my mother and father would host a New Year's Eve party at our house. And it was that one night of the year that I always look forward to. We'd put card tables up in the living room, and we'd have board games, and we'd have the dining room table filled with, you know, what was left over from Christmas, which was usually a lot of fudge and cookies. And it was that one night of the whole year that I was allowed to stay up late. And I just remember those days. And I also remember that after I got out of the house and was out on my own, and I would come home during the holidays, and my mom and dad would be in bed by 10 o'clock. And I thought, man, what happened to those wonderful parties we used to have? But I think we still do like to stay up late and ring in the new year. You can stay up late by turning on the TV and watching the ball drop, right, in Times Square. There's various ways in which we celebrate the new year. There's a strawberry drop, there's even a pickle drop, and there is a sausage drop, which sounds kind of interesting to me. But there's some other ways around the country in which we celebrate the new year, just to name a few. Now, I lived in Indiana for 7.5 years, and I never heard of this, but there is a watermelon drop in Indiana. There's a pine cone drop in Arizona. There is a beach ball drop in Florida. There is a peach drop in Georgia. But the one that I want to go see, desperately want to go see this, it is a 1,000-pound piece of cheese drop in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Now, who wouldn't want to see that, right? Who wouldn't want to see 1,000 pieces of cheese dropped on New Year's Eve? The truth is, each one of us has probably an expectation of a new year, that hopefully the new year is going to be better than the old, that somehow we are going to learn from the mistakes in 2018 to make 2019 even better. An optimist will stay up till midnight to welcome in the new year, but a pessimist will stay up till midnight to make sure the old year is gone, that it leaves, and that we can move forward. Oprah Winfrey once said, "Cheers to the new year and another chance to get it right." Today we're going to look at a few things about preparing for the new year. And I want to look at something that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 17. He says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come." Today we're going to talk about what it means to begin a new year. And we're going to start by letting us know that to begin the new year, we must have the proper attitude. So what is your attitude toward 2019? In the scripture, Paul is telling us that we are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then our old self is no longer present. And when I talk about our old self, I'm talking about our old desires, our old personality quirks, our old perspective, our old attitudes, our old way of dealing with things. If we are truly in Christ and God has reconciled himself to us, then we are Christ's ambassadors. And therefore, those old things that used to drive us and motivate us and inspire us and encourage us, they should be gone. And in its place, a new spirit with a new attitude. Which means that we no longer are going to say something negative about somebody, we're going to say only things positive. If we don't have anything positive to say to someone, then we just be quiet, right? Or if we are no longer trying to force our agenda on people, we are now more willing to listen to other people's ideas and thoughts. If we believe that we're right all the time in the past, now we're going to learn that humbleness is a very positive trait because it means that we're not always right. And that's okay because we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from others. What is the proper attitude for the new year? Are you looking at 2019 as an unbeliever with no hope, or are you looking at it as being Christ's ambassador with resources from heaven available to you for you to have an amazing new year? Each and every year, we are offered a new chance, a new beginning, with new offers of hope, new opportunities to shine. As Lavelle said, we need to shine. We need to shine. And sometimes I think our shininess is kind of dulled at times. Most people look forward to New Year with a new start. But the problem is, we look forward to that new start, but we carry with us old bad habits from the previous year that we don't shake, that we don't get rid of. I heard a story about a wife who came into the bathroom to see her husband was standing on the scale and he was sucking his stomach in, and She told him that that wasn't going to make anything better. And he said, yes, it will, because I can't see the numbers if I don't. You see, we make New Year's resolutions. I want to quit this, start this. I want to stop doing this and start doing that. Resolutions that most of the time are kept only for the first month. A little boy asked his father what his New Year's resolution was going to be. And he said, well, my New Year's resolution is I want to do everything possible in this new year to make your mother very happy. And so he went to his mother and asked her mother, what is your New Year's resolution? And she said, my New Year's resolution is to do everything possible to make sure that your father keeps his resolution. You see, our attitude will have everything to do with whether 2019 ends up the way we desire it to. If you do not believe anything will change in 2019, guess what? It probably won't. It's all in your attitude. If you need to be reminded this morning that you need to keep close to God in 2019, you're probably heading in the wrong direction. If you're trying to fix yourself, or you're trying to find someone to blame for your mistakes or the way things are going in your life, you are probably heading in the wrong direction. 2019 will have renewed purpose, but it can only happen if we put Christ at the forefront. Otherwise, it's just another year. It's just another resolution. It's just another goal that we fail to follow through with. Are you looking for joy this year in your life? Are you looking at it in the things that you do? Are you looking at it with your job? Are you looking at it through your investments or whatever it may be that you put your focus on? If that's the case, you're looking in the wrong place. Looking for joy without the Lord is at best circumstantial. Are you looking for peace? Again, we try to find peace in other things that don't give us that peace, that only make us more and more discouraged. True peace comes from God. It is not based upon not having trouble. For what did Jesus say? In this life, you will have trouble, right? In this world, you will have trouble, but I have come so that I may overcome the world to make a difference in your life. Are you looking for hope? Well, hope comes in Christ. It's not going to come in trying to lose weight or trying to make more money or trying to do things to fill your desires and your wants. The thing about being a Christian is we have hope. Why? We're living a story right now, and our story is not complete. Our story is not complete. But we also know how the end of the story comes, right? The day when we stand before God, the day we stand before Christ, and He looks at us and smiles and says, "Welcome. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the way you handled yourself. I'm proud of the way you took care of adversity. I'm proud of the way you told my story. Because your story is my story. It is based on God's wisdom and strength as God guides us through the journey of life, the life that He promised us. Attitude really could probably be a whole sermon. But 2019 is coming in without an attitude change, if it is, without Christ being first in your life, it's going to be a pretty difficult year. Because you're looking for hope and peace in all the wrong places. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that is where you put your trust. That is where you put your faith. That is the attitude shift that we all need to have in life. Which leads us to the second part of this, and that is, what part do we play in the change of attitude? I think this is where we kind of dig into the text a little bit. As I read this morning, our scripture said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The key word or the key phrase there is in Christ. It does not say those who know Christ. It says those who are in Christ. What does in Christ mean? Does anyone know? To be in Christ means that you have an intimate and personal relationship with the risen Christ. It means that everything you do and everything you say is directed by Christ. That's what causes the attitude shift. You know, as I said before, we tend to try to live our lives according to our standards or our wisdom or our life expectancies, the things that we want to see in our life. That's how we tend to run our life. We tend to do things so that we can reach those goals that we have set for ourselves. And oftentimes, we don't reach those goals because they're our goals. They're not necessarily God's goals for our life. To be in Christ means that you have this intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ in which He directs you, guides you, encourages you, corrects you. That's how 2019 can be even better than 2018. That's how tomorrow or today can be better than yesterday. That's how opportunities may come your way because you see it. Because in our selfishness, in our lives that we want for ourselves, sometimes we're blind to those opportunities. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, He offers in Christ a new life, a new creation. We are new beings. Our forefathers, the old Adam, offered death because of sin. But the new Adam, Jesus Christ, offers us new life. And He said, and even Jesus said, if you are in Me, if I am in you, that you will be even greater than who? Him, right? Can you imagine that kind of life where you can have an impact that is so amazing? And that when you are in heaven and you're standing there and you come into the gates and you're experiencing the beauty of heaven, can you imagine this long line of people waiting to greet you? Waiting to meet you, to hug you, to shake your hand, to say that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't sat down and listened to my struggles that day, if you hadn't talked to me when no one else would, if you hadn't given me that little extra money so I could get something to eat, if you hadn't talked to me about your relationship with your God, I would not be here today. I want to tell you something. That is a celebration I want to be a part of. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to that? To that day when people that you had an impact with changed because of what you did. The problem with most of us is that we know of Christ, but we're not willing to live in Christ. You know, one is according to the flesh. It's our own attitudes, our own desires. We want to have control. The other is according to the Spirit of God. The creative process is underway. It's redemptive, not destructive. All humanity was in Adam, but all Christians, you and I, are to be in Christ. Just like the ending of 1 year and the start of a new year. Those that are in Christ should be leaving some of their old ways behind with the hope of a redemptive change in their lives. A change that God makes, not by something we do on our own. And when we pray, we ask God to take things away that are harmful to us. But what happens is, sometimes, instead of leaving them, before we're even done with the prayer, we pick them up again. So here are some things that we need to leave behind. And as I was writing this, these came to my mind, and I thought, boy, this is for me probably more than anybody else, but it's important for us to leave these behind. Leave behind resentment, worries, a sense of failure. Resentment, because the one that suffers from unforgiveness is really you. You are not meant to carry the load from year to year. Hurt needs to be given to the Lord, not carried around. Worry, it takes up time and energy and has no positive outcome. I heard a statistic that just blew my mind, and I don't know why it did, because I can understand it, but 90% of the things we worry about never happen. You believe that? I probably need to put that on my refrigerator door. You see, there are two things that probably we should do. Do the things we need to do to change what we can change, but then realize that some things cannot be changed. And give it to the Lord on both. What about failures? I want to tell you something. Many years ago, when we were leaving Indiana, my father-in-law and I were in the big truck with a trailer for one of our cars. He was the one who started driving first, and we were driving out of Terre Haute, Indiana, and I was sitting in the car, and I had tears in my eyes. For some reason, I felt like a failure. I had been at that church for 7.5 years. Prior to that, the longest a pastor stayed was 2 years. And I still felt like a failure. That somehow I could have done more, I could have done something differently. Thankfully, my father-in-law, who doesn't talk a lot, doesn't converse a lot, quiet, but he turned as he was driving, he said, "You know, Rob, you may never know the difference you made in that church, but you did not fail. You did not fail because you stayed when other pastors had left. You stayed when other pastors were asked to leave. And they still wanted you to be there. You did not fail." I believe that we only fail when we do nothing. So, for those of us who feel like we don't want to try, we won't want to do anything different, we want to keep the status quo, we want to keep doing things the way we've always done it, we don't even want to try to break new ground, create new traditions, or try new things, that is failing. Because we don't do anything. We just keep doing what we always do. You only fail when you do nothing. If we are in Christ, we are not failures. No matter how many setbacks, Christ puts us back on our feet, and he calls us a winner. Why? Because we try. We do something. We don't just sit. So what is your part? Well, your part, my part, is to be reconciled to God and to allow God to be active in your life. Ephesians 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Maybe some of you this year have been beaten up a bit. Some things were brought on because of your own mistakes. Maybe some were brought on by unavoidable circumstances. Change the things that you can change. Trust God in those unavoidable times to see you through. Again, from Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go into 2019 with a proper attitude. And we need to understand that the part that we play is to put our faith and trust in God. And then, for the final touch, we begin 2019 with a strong desire to find God's will for our life. Again, when you wake up in the morning, begin your day, no matter what that day may hold. I know some of you have your prayer time and your devotion time. But I want to challenge you, maybe starting tomorrow morning, that when you wake up, your prayer will be, "Thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunities that you are going to present to me this day. Thank you for family and for friends. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the opportunities to be a light in this part of the world. Give me wisdom. Give me confidence. Give me strength. Protect me. And may your will be done, not mine. And may my day be played out in such a way that people see you in everything I say and do." If you only know of Christ and you are not in Christ, you will not be able to find God's will for your life. If you're filled with your own desires and your own wants, you're not going to find it. God promises to allow us to know God's will for our life, but we have to seek God, listen to what he says, and follow through. Do you think that God's will for your life is for you to worry about everything, to saturate yourself with negativity, to try to knock other people down just to make yourself feel better? Do you think that it's God's will for you to live with high anxiety, too busy to grasp the spiritual thoughts, and to have a serious devotion time with him? Let me share with you some thoughts. Number one, establish your priorities. Put God first in your life. God must be a part of every decision making. It has to be. Whether that is where you go to lunch, whether it is how you spend your money, whether it is the conversations that you may have for your job or in life. For if you are a Christian, you must be asking God for direction in your life. How many of us this morning, in conclusion, how many of us want to see something happen to them and their family in a powerful way in 2019, right? We all do, don't we? Do you have the right attitude to see it happen? Or are you still holding on to your attitudes from yesterday? Are you still holding on to your priorities? Are you still holding on to how you treat others? Is God first and everything? Are you in Christ? Does Christ control your life? Are you willing to change what you can change and trust in God to change the unavoidable? Are you trusting the Lord for the things that you can change? Are you turning to Him to help you to understand the things you can't? My prayer is that God will bless each and every one of us in 2019. It's probably not going to be always a cakewalk. It's not always going to be easy. But if we go into 2019 with a proper attitude and the proper perspective, that we want to shine brightly for others, to put others first, I guarantee you that in 2019, you will see blessings in your life. And if we do it together as a community of faith, I can guarantee, that God is going to do something incredible in this church. I am excited about the Good News Club. I'm excited about what God is going to do in the midst of this place. I'm excited what God is going to do in your lives. And I'm looking forward to you telling me your stories. And maybe, for our prayer time, if someone has had a week that has just been amazing, that we offer that opportunity for you to tell us how awesome your week was because of what you did to make it happen and what God did in you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we move out of 2018 and into 2019, it is my prayer that we can come in with a proper attitude, that we can come in with the proper perspective. But also, Lord, we play our part, which is to just allow you to work and to trust in you, to not just sit on the sidelines and wait for something to happen, but that we use the gifts that you have given us to be a part of it, to get excited each and every day, and to appreciate each other and appreciate being together, and to just look forward to every opportunity we have to be glorified, to glorify you, and to feel and experience the blessings that you have for us. Be with each one here today, and I look forward to hearing their stories. I look forward to hearing how their week was. I look forward to hearing how God is working. And I, sitting here this morning, and those children saying prayers, it touched me. You know, some people say the children are the church of tomorrow, but Marley and Caitlin and Nicholas, you are the church of today. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this morning. And may it encourage the rest of us to come before you like little children. I pray this in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.